Today, live from Rudy's Hideaway, it's the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
In the travel news,
that no middle seat rule is getting limited extension, Hertz problems continue to mount, and it's now buyer beware if you're renting from the former rental car giant. Details next.
At 3:20, we make you a smarter traveler as Mark talks about a week on the road in California and Oregon. The good and the bad of a COVID car vacation.
Indeed, more and more travelers are skipping the plane and getting in their cars for vacations and short getaways this summer. At 3:35, Carol Pucci returns to the show to give us some tips on close-to-home travel during COVID.
Finally, Steve LaRosa is in the house at 3:50 with the latest edition of What's Going On. Thought you were trapped at home? Well, think again. Steve has ideas for getting out and about, or maybe you prefer staying safely at home. Well, Steve has some ideas for that, too.
Travel is different. We can be your navigators through this unusual time. We are Tom and Mark. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got 2 tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
With the show.
Hey there, my friends. Welcome again to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are live from Rudy's Hideaway's patio. We're outdoors. Crowd should be showing up here shortly to dine. Rudy's opened up, for patio dining a few weeks ago. And, you know, we decided we'd get outside and do the radio show from someplace other than in our house. So here we are. There's always some challenges on a live remote. And that means proximity. That means, you know, automobiles going by and so forth. I just sent Mark over out underneath the tent over there. How you doing over there, Mark?
I'm doing okay. I can see you from here, Thomas.
Well, all right. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about today on the Travel Guys, and later on we'll take a couple of minutes and speak with Steve Ryan, owner of Rudy's, and kind of ask him how it's going out here now that they've reopened. I stopped by earlier in the week, and all of his EasyUp tents had caught that wind on Wednesday and blew over the fence, so they had themselves quite a mess for a while. And Mark just got back from a little road trip. Kind of a combination road and plane up to Oregon, and we're going to be anxious to take a listen to what Mark has to say about that. Does that sound cool, Mark? We'll do that?
Works for me.
All right. Well, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, regardless of where the broadcast originates, we bring you up to date on the travel news. Mark, what you got for us today?
Well, there is, for considering it, that you're not supposed to be traveling very much. A lot of people are. We will talk a little bit more about later in the program. Alaska Airlines has tightened its mask mandate. Anyone over the age of two must wear one. No exceptions for medical or other reasons, period. If you're flying on Alaska Airlines and you're over the age of two, you will wear a mask. Alaska has also extended its open middle seat policy through the end of October. Passengers are not very happy with a couple of airlines over what? Refunds. Volaris, the Mexican airline that flies from Sacramento on a red-eye to Guadalajara once a day, is the airline that's in trouble. They basically started giving people vouchers. Folks who accepted vouchers didn't know that their voucher was only going to be good for 90 days. Guess what? You haven't been able to travel to Mexico now for a while, may not be able to for a while. So basically, when that voucher expired, your ticket expired, which, of course, was not only illegal, but it was kind of against the spirit of things. So Volaris is in trouble there. And I like to talk frequently about how much I like Southwest Airlines and the way they do things. Well, they are in trouble also, and deservedly so. Southwest has filed a motion to dismiss a class action suit against them. What Southwest is basically saying is that, look, we tell people that our airline tickets are non-refundable. So when the flight got canceled and their ticket was non-refundable, we gave them a voucher. They knew it was going to be non-refundable to start with. However, the government says if the airline cancels the flight, the airline owes you a refund. So Southwest has gotten itself into a little bit of trouble there. Watch this space, and we will let you know what happened. We told you that Payne Field, the airfield north of Seattle that had opened last summer with a limited number of flights, had actually closed down a couple of weeks ago. It has reopened now with a light rail, with a flight to Phoenix and a flight to Las Vegas every day. The folks in Hawaii, this is getting to be just a royal mess. Inter-island travel has now been restricted in Hawaii. They opened that up a couple months ago, basically for folks who live in the islands to get back and forth. But here's what was happening. Folks figured out that you could fly to Honolulu, get on a connecting flight with the same airline. Nobody would check you for quarantine in Honolulu. You would fly to that other island. Then you would get back on a plane and fly back to Honolulu or to whatever island you were going to, never leaving the airports. And by the time you got to the outer islands, you were considered to be a local passenger. So people weren't looking at you for the quarantine things when you weren't on a nonstop flight from the mainland. An increasing number of people have figured out this little hole in things. So Hawaii now has reinstated the inter-island travel restriction. So you now cannot fly inter-island for the next couple of weeks. If you have a timeshare or planning on a Hawaiian vacation, it may be a little while before you get an opportunity to exercise that option. Disney World in Florida has cut its hours a little bit. They opened up a few weeks ago, and they now have cut their hours down. Not too much. They're basically going to do about a 9 to 7 ratio a day. So they've chopped a couple hours off. A couple of airlines are asking passengers to please stop bringing your own booze on board. United Airlines and Southwest have both reminded their passengers that there is a law that says no person may drink any alcoholic beverage aboard an aircraft unless the certificate holder operating the aircraft has served that beverage to them. Now, the problem is, of course, that airlines are not serving beverages, alcoholic beverages, currently on the plane. But you cannot bring your own.
Yeah, I got busted once, and it wasn't because I brought it in my backpack. I was I think it might have been the Vegas airport. We were getting ready to board the plane. I had purchased a drink I hadn't finished, and when I got on the plane, wasn't too long after I was settled in before a flight attendant came by and reminded me that I needed to drink that right now, dump that out, whatever. And and at that time I didn't realize that that was a no-no. So anyway, I had to suck it up, and I learned that the hard way there.
Well, we have enough problems with drunks on planes, and so this is the deal, folks. Even though the airlines are not serving alcohol on the planes, you can't take your own. And the flight attendants of these two airlines have been instructed that if they see you creating your own alcoholic beverage on the plane or drinking alcohol on the plane, that they're going to call you on it, and it's not legal. So if you get caught, you have already been forewarned.
Well, I won't take that personally.
Good. Good, Thomas. Hey, a survey has been done on how much flyers will pay for an empty middle seat. And the answer is 17% more folks are willing to pay. So let's pretend for a minute your ticket is $200. You would be hypothetically willing to pay about $235 in order to be guaranteed that that middle seat would be empty. But let me just propose something to you. 10 people pay for the middle seat to be empty on the plane. So the middle seat next to them is empty, but every other middle seat is full. So you're only buying the seat next to you. You're not buying the middle seat in front or in back of you. And having flown on airplanes a half a dozen times in the last month and a half, all Southwest flights, but the point is they're blocking the middle seat. So the middle seat is blocked throughout the aircraft unless there's a party of three that are flying and they wish to sit together. So there is some advantages. Statistics show us that it's harder to get COVID if you are not sitting three abreast on the airline. So there you go. Flyers are willing to pay a premium, but how much of a premium and how the airlines handle that premium and the logistics associated with with it may or may not be, make that 17% premium worth what flyers are going to pay. A Hyatt hotel, this is really interesting, Tom. A Hyatt hotel, and Hyatt is investigating this, why one of their hotels, you went into the room, you turned on the TV set, you know, and usually sometimes it'll greet you if you're a high-status customer in the hotel and they've pre-assigned your room, or it'll come on and give you some instructions to do. In this case, the TV came on and asked you for a $25 donation in order to make sure that the hotel stayed open. No.
Wow.
Yeah. No. It's just all the money was going to the hotel, hypothetically, or at least that's what they said. Hyatt did not release the name of the hotel, and they are investigating. And one last story here involves Hertz rental cars. And you can find this story at travelguysradio.com. And if you rent from Hertz, I strongly recommend to you that you take a minute and go to travelguysradio.com and read this. Hertz has, this is a fairly documented story here. Comes from the Inquirer. And with a tagline of August the 3rd, a number of situations here where Hertz has gone after people who have extended rentals, and Hertz has recorded them as stolen cars and gone after the folks. And indeed, several of the folks who have rented Hertz cars have spent time in jail because Hertz says the car is stolen. The law enforcement comes after it. You're driving it. And so you go sit in the pokey while they figure it all out. After reading this story, I have rented Hertz cars for many years. I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole after reading this. I honestly would suggest to you, go to travelguysradio.com. Bankrupt Hertz is still wrongly accusing customers of stealing its cars. Finally, somebody has filed a lawsuit. So Hertz is a company that's in trouble. They're cutting corners. I only was going to rent from them, only rented from them this week because it was a sizable difference in price and it was a one-way rental. I will not make that mistake again. You get what you pay for when it comes to travel. And we only had to trade the car once. There was an issue over how much gas was in the gas tank or not. It was just a nightmare. So if you are a Hertz rental car customer, I wish you the best. And that's the travel news for today.
All right, and we are the Travel Guys. Don't forget now, check us out at travelguysradio.com. There you'll find links to our special guests and all kinds of other stuff to make you a smarter traveler. Mark and Tom, we're broadcasting live from Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House on the patio. It's a beautiful warm day, and I totally forgot that we're right next to where the light rail station here. And when the light rail goes by, it just rips it up. Okay, Steve joins us from Rudy's for a couple of minutes right after the break, and then we're going to talk to Mark about his road trip to Oregon. That's next here on The Travel Guys.
Amarillo by morning.
Hey there, my friends. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here again with you. We are The Travel Guys, broadcasting live from Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. I didn't go look to see where they house the lobsters, but I'm sure there's some in here somewhere. I know. Let's go to Steve Ryan, who owns Rudy's Hideaway, who is on the phone. And Steve, where is the lobsters house?
We have two different lobster tanks within the restaurant, and we can house about 75 of them at any one time. The live guys, and then we have the lobster tails as well. The live guys are in tanks and kind of on a suicide watch.
Well, that's one way to put it. Hey, Steve, we're enjoying ourselves here today. Thank you for having us out. Everything is pretty well buttoned up. I totally forgot about the light rail and traffic sounds, my gosh, but we're managing okay. I mean, it wouldn't be a live broadcast if it didn't have some ambience. How's things going since you opened up?
I found the lobsters.
Oh, wait a minute, hold on, Mark.
I found the lobsters. You want one now?
Yeah, go ahead, round one up for me.
They're still alive, though. They're after
you. Yeah, no, never mind. Okay, anyway, Steve Beck. Back to you. Give us an update, my friend, on how things are going since you opened the patio here at Rudy's.
Oh, yeah, the restaurant business is a real challenge for everybody, and luckily, we do have a patio that we didn't use very much. We kind of housed our food truck there and our catering truck. And so we kind of transitioned into making that a dining spot. And actually, it turned out pretty nice. We've got 23 different tables out there, all at least 6 feet apart. I mean, we've got actually more room than we actually need. But, yeah, it's, it's going all right now.
I did see that when I visited earlier in the week, there is one problem that it looks like you were able to solve. Tell us what happened on Wednesday.
Oh, my goodness. We had a bunch of tents that we had zip-tied together, thinking that would provide stability and some sandbags. And then there was a wind that came up and blew them over the fence, over to the fire department. And so that was pretty exciting. We lost a couple, but we were able to rebuild it, and you know, every day it's a new challenge.
Well, thanks, Steve, for having us out. Before we let you go, go ahead and let folks know what your hours are for the truck and the restaurant and these days.
Well, the thanks is toward you guys for doing the live remote from Rudy's. I appreciate that very much. We operate the food truck. We kind of do that at lunchtime, so that's 11 to 4, and we've got that set up in the parking lot. And then starting at 4, we start serving on the patio. And also at 4, we do the curbside as well. So that's all 4 to 9 o'clock with the curbside and the patio dining. And for the most part, there's always availability.
Well, outstanding. Well, look, you guys keep up the good work out there, and appreciate again once again for having us out. And you have a great rest of your day. All righty.
All right. I just I'm in my Hertz rental car, and I'm just getting lit up by the CHP. Is that going to be a problem?
Mark. I don't know if you heard that. Mark said, you should be okay, but don't call us. We'll call you.
Hey, Tom, thanks again for being such a great customer and taking care of us.
You bet, Steve. Our pleasure. See you next time. All righty. Let's hit the road. I don't think, Mark, you may be the only person I know that's taken a road trip recently. Tell us all about it.
Let me tell you, people are, especially in Oregon, I will tell you, people are traveling, Tom. You know, of course, a lot of attractions are closed, and some things where people would go in large numbers are closed. But in Oregon, that isn't as big of a problem because Oregon is a state that's known for being an outdoors destination. So the beaches, the parks, the anything with a parking lot where people can go and recreate are jammed. So if you're headed out to someplace, and dare I say this probably doesn't apply to Oregon, but probably applies to every destination right now. If you're going someplace, the early bird gets the worm. So even if you're on vacation, at this particular point in time, you've got to get up early and get there first so that you get the spot in the parking lot so you can get on the trailhead and get to the place that you want to go so that when everybody else is arriving 2 hours later, you're on your way back so that you don't have to worry as much about crowds. Hotels in Oregon are doing very well, especially hotels in vacation destinations. So why is this, you say? Because we're still only having about 25 to 30% of the number of people flying who flew at this time last year. The answer is, Tom, that people are going by automobile. They are driving by car, or they're flying like from Sacramento to Portland, and then they're getting in an automobile and driving to and doing a driving vacation, or they're just leaving Sacramento, as we did on a scouting mission to check out things for future sports leisure vacations trips, but they don't have that working mission. They're just going out and doing the driving. So you can expect that any place that accommodates a car is going to be very busy. Roadside rest areas are not even all open. So that's something. Remember, we've talked about on the show, if you're going to take a vacation this summer, you need to do your homework because a lot of simple things are not as simple as they used to be. So a lot of roadside rest areas are not open. This puts an extra demand on restrooms, on public restrooms in cities and on restrooms in business establishments. Many business establishments had signs that clearly said, no restrooms open, no public restrooms, our restrooms are not open to even our own customers, etc. So that's something that you have to think about. Restaurants in Oregon, many of them are open for inside dining, but they're only doing limited dining. Many of them are doing exactly what Sacramento restaurateurs like Rudy's here is doing by putting tables outside and accommodating people outside. Of course, it's lovely in Portland at this time of the year, but their weather will cool off faster than ours. So this is a temporary solution, not a permanent one. Masks, everybody is wearing a mask. If you go into some place and wear, and you're not wearing a mask, what happens is someone's forgotten it. It's in their pocket, or they've taken it down like mine is right now because I'm talking to you on the radio. So if you go traveling to Oregon, I can tell you that the people there are into the mask thing. And here's the other deal is that if you go into an establishment without a mask, they're making it very clear at the door with a sign, and they will approach you inside. I saw this happen a couple of situations. You're not wearing a mask and you don't have one, they will just ask you to leave. And I noticed that there wasn't as much pushback, and also there weren't as many people in that situation. Or when someone said, hey, put your mask up, the person did it. Or where's your mask? Oh, I forgot it in the car. I'll be right back. So that was at least a good thing. But a lot of things that you would think as secondary things, we've heard this in California too about parks and things like that, are extremely crowded. So you really want to avoid weekends. You want to go during the week. You want to try to go early in the day before the crowd gets there. And you want to have a plan B in case you get there and the parking lot is completely full.
All right, Mark, any horror stories that you can tell in 15 seconds on your trip?
No, it went reasonably well. Be safe, be considerate of other people, and you won't have a problem. People in Oregon are doing it.
All right, there you go. Let's take a lesson from Oregon. Why not? We're neighbors. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom. Coming up after the break, Carol Pucci returns to the show. Give us some tips on close-to-home travel during COVID. I think you're going to enjoy the road. We are the Travel Guys. Well, that music tells me it's that time again, and it's been a long time since we've had Steve LaRosa on for another What's Going On, because as everybody knows, there's just not a lot going on. Steve, it's so good to see you. Welcome back to the Travel Guys, my friend.
Well, Tom, you're right. It has been a while. If you had asked me back in April what's going on, my segment would have been about 5 seconds long. It would have been nothing.
Yeah.
But there's some alternatives. Actually, in terms of working with the situation, and hopefully we can share with some people today what some of these ideas are that I dug up and did myself.
All right. Well, you know, nowadays you got to be a little more creative. You got to look in places maybe you didn't look before, and sometimes you got to kind of get back to the basics. So, with that being said, you sent me a nice list of some things, some online, some not. So why don't you go ahead and let our listeners know in today's world what's going on?
Well, the first little tip is that the first four of these events I'm going to mention, I got from the events section on Facebook. And it's a great source. You can open it up, click on events, and you can tap the type of event. You can tap the date you want, like this weekend, next week, whatever. So it's a great little source. So why don't we just launch into it? Like, for instance, I came across this one tomorrow, Monday, August 10th at 6 p.m., Comedy Spot Live, that comedy club down on 20th Street. Well, they're doing a lot of online stuff, and they'll be streaming shows or bringing on past videos, and we'll have a link on TravelGuysRadio.com for upcoming airings to find all the live and archived watchables. You can also interact with them online as they simultaneously broadcast live from their Facebook page. These shows, again, like I said, this one tomorrow is going to start at 6 p.m. Another thing they're doing, and now this one is going to be on Saturday, August 15th, again, the Comedy Spot. It's called the Charade-a-thon. It's going to be a live streaming fundraising event for the Comedy Spot because they're closed down, like a lot of businesses, Tom.
Right.
And what it says, their description is, watch Mel Gelbart as she tries to get her team of guessers to get as many charades as possible in an hour. The team is hoping to correctly guess charades in that space of that hour, and you can pledge how much you want to donate for each charade accomplished, or just make a straight donation.
Cool. I like that. What else you got?
Well, also on Saturday, August 15th, it's called Black Poets Matter. Now, this is week six, and this week is featuring poet Palmyra Muniz. The description of the event is, Black Poets Matter is a curated poetry reading series with the goal of amplifying and centering Black and multiracial voices. Readings are going to occur over Zoom with simultaneous broadcast over Facebook Live and YouTube every Saturday from 8 to 9:30. Each night, Tom will consist of six curated poets and one feature poet. And that's going to be at 7:30 p.m. Saturday the 15th.
Good, good, okay. Are you a poet by any chance? Do you do poetry?
Roses are red. Violets are...
Okay.
No, I'm not.
All right.
Okay, continuing on.
All right.
On Tuesday, August 11th, and Thursday, August 13th, from 3 p.m. to 3:40, it's called Pint Size Karate Live Online Class for Kids. Tickets are $46, and you can access this event via Eventbrite. And it's a fun intro to karate basics, warm-ups, techniques, drills, games, and challenges that can be done in your living room. And that's what every parent wants, right, Tom, is their kids doing karate kicks around the living room. Be careful of that antique lamp or Uncle George's ashes, which are sitting on top of the mantel.
All right.
Anyway, it's best for kids. They're saying best for kids age 5 to 12, but all ages are welcome. And it's a live class with an instructor on Zoom.
There you go.
And there'll be a link. And you know where the link is, Tom.
Yep, travelguysradio.com. Besides all the great online things that you've shared with us today for our What's Going On. Oh, by the way, if you're just tuning in, my guest here on the Travel Guys, Steve LaRosa, our What's Going On guy, in a time when there's not that much going on. But, Steve, you've got an outdoor activity that I find fascinating. Tell me about it.
Yeah, another activity, Tom, that's, I'm going to say safe. It's the William Land Park Trail Walk. Now, I have this book. It's called 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles of Sacramento, and it's by a local guy, Jordan Summers. And he wrote this book about all these great hikes, and there's a half dozen that are right here in town. So we chose this one because apparently we found out that the lotus pads in the pond at Land Park were in bloom. And I got to tell you, in your mind, you're probably imagining what it looked. These things were like 6 feet tall. It looked like the Day of the Triffids or something like
that.
Wow. For you science fiction fans out there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they're still blooming, but I did look up and it said that, there's a thing in Los Angeles. They say they're blooming through the end of August. In Jordan Summers' book, 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles of Sacramento, you'll find a map and a description of the experience. And this is an easy 3-mile walk. It starts at the zoo, winds around most of the park. It's great exercise, wide open spaces, which is what we need, plenty of social distancing, you know, a variety of trees, plants, birds, squirrels, and humans. We went there a month ago. It's a pretty spectacular visual to see these lotus pads in bloom. We'll have a link on travelguysradio.com to the publisher of Jordan's book. He has a handful of other books on, like, easy hikes in the Northern California area. It's worth checking out.
Outstanding. Hey, Steve, thanks for bringing us some What's Going On, even during a time where it's seriously challenged to find things to do. You did a great job. I appreciate it. We look forward to connecting with you again here on the Travel Guys. All righty?
You're very welcome, and we'll have some other stuff coming up in the next month or two.
Well, okay, I got to ask Mark, have you ever seen any of those lily pads in bloom that are 6 feet high and look like from the Day of the Triplets?
No, not ones that were quite that impressive. Is that impressive or what? I just want to say to Steve, how do you put together a What's Going On segment when there's almost nothing going on? I mean, I thought that was just marginally genius to come up with, excuse me while the light rail train goes by here at Rudy's Hideaway, to come up with a couple of virtual things to put in here. My absolute congratulations to him. I mean, that is just really cool that he came up with that. But no, there's some great ideas. So thank you, Steve, for that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Steve. And once again, as Steve mentioned, we'll mention it again, links to the books, links to all the stuff that Steve was talking about and things to do from home and so forth, you can find it, travelguysradio.com. And a thanks to one of our Travel Guys listeners who chimed in at travelguysradio.com with a note reminding us that, hey, don't beat up too much on the light rail over here. That's actually a kind of a little like a mini vacation thing that you can do is ride the light rail. Don't forget your mask, however.
Yeah, exactly. That's a definition of a road trip. Speaking of road trips, we talked before the news, I talked about being in a car on vacation, sort of on a working vacation in Oregon. Carol Pucci is going to join us for the last segment of the Travel Guys. If you're thinking about going somewhere on an automobile, Carol also took a driving trip, and it turns out quite a bit of it in the state of Oregon. And she has some really great tips on how to handle a car vacation during COVID-19. That's coming up next on the last lap here on the Travel Guys.
In my mind, I go a lot of places these days. I spend a lot of time daydreaming about places I've been and things I've done. And did I say? Anyway, we are Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys, bringing you our program live from Rudy's Hideaway, right outside off of Hazel Avenue next to the fire station here and the light rail and all. And, you know, Mark, earlier we talked about his road trip to Oregon. And what that was all about. Mark, you have a special guest who, matter of fact, is going to talk a little bit more about trips close to home and travel during the COVID and such. Why don't you tell us who we're going to be talking with?
Tom, we're joined by Carol Pucci. Carol is a contributor to the Seattle Times. She's a former travel writer and columnist there. She's also a contributor to JoeSentMe.com, which I've mentioned on this program before, is a great place to go for travel information. It is a pay subscribe site that I belong to. Carol, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Hi, Mark and Tom. Nice to be with you.
Hey, thank you very much for your time. We were talking earlier in the program, Carol. I just got back from a week on the road driving from Sacramento along the California and Oregon coast up to Portland and flew back home this morning. So I thought this was perfect. I talked a little bit about parks and parking lots and beaches and things like that being absolutely overwhelmed with people. You made a road trip yourself that you opined about here recently with your husband, and I thought that you encountered some excellent situations and you had some excellent information. And I should mention before we start here that a copy of the column can be found at our website at travelguysradio.com. Carol, tell us a little bit about your trip. You went to Ashland, I believe.
Well, I did, and the purpose of the trip, it was a four-day trip, was to visit my mother, who lives in Ashland, about 450 miles away. Now, I think a lot of people right now are doing trips with a purpose in mind rather than a full vacation. However, we decided to work in a little fun and do stops both in Eugene and Bend, where we have friends. So we broke up this trip instead of dead 12 hours away, not stopping, not staying anywhere. We put what I like to call some joy into the journey and found some ways to enjoy it without being stressed out about the virus and so forth.
Carol, did you use Airbnbs? I know you love bed and breakfast, or did you stay in hotels on this trip?
Well, you know, I do love bed and breakfast, but I think now at this time I would choose Airbnbs even over hotels. For one reason, And that's because I think right now it's most important to minimize the number of people you come in contact with, say in a lobby, a parking lot, an elevator. Whereas an Airbnb, and I choose the ones that are self-contained units, like a mother-in-law apartment or a cottage or a cabin, and you're the only people coming and going. And so for that reason, I'm favoring Airbnbs. I've booked three or four recently, all that same type of accommodation. And so I think that's a good way to go for now.
Sidebar off the subject, any issues, any problems with surprise fees or things like that at Airbnbs? We've been getting a lot of comments about things like that.
There, you really have to be careful, and all the information is there in the listings, and you just need to be diligent, check those cancellation fees, especially with COVID-19 right now, and make sure you know the total price, including the Airbnb tax, and I mean fees, taxes, and cleaning fees, which can up the price quite a bit.
However, Carol, how did you guys?
What you're looking for, you keep looking. Mm-hmm.
Excuse my interruption. How did you handle meals on your trip? Did you?
Okay.
I mean, on our recent trip, we used a lot of drive-through.
A lot of people are packing their own food and so forth. I think that's fine. However, I researched before we left on restaurants with outdoor seating. And I even called a couple places to make sure. And we enjoyed that very much. We're fine with eating outdoors. We're not ready to go inside a restaurant yet. And so we had very good luck with that. However, you can certainly pack a cooler with some snacks and have a picnic along the way, many nice places to picnic. So either way, but we did, for the most part, go out. And, of course, if you have an Airbnb, you have a kitchen often and a microwave, and you can do some things at your unit.
Carol, did you find, I mean, it's hard to say that there would be travel advantages at this point in time, but mm-hmm. let's face it, there are fewer people traveling to certain types of places, more people going to others because of the fact that some places are closed. Did you find any gems or any type of attractions or things along the way that seem to be less occupied or less populated?
Well, we did. For instance, Ashland, Oregon, in July is usually just packed with tourists because of the Shakespeare Festival there, which has been canceled. So right. It's a charming little town, and we had the run of the town and the restaurants. We also drove from there to Bend via Crater Lake National Park, another very, very popular place in summer. And we did this midweek, so weekends could be different. And there were hardly any people at the lodge where there's beautiful trails and overlooks. And in fact, the lodge had just opened, and they had many, many rooms vacant had we wanted to stay. So I think there are things like that. As you said, there are other things that just were just packed with people that I wouldn't even stop.
We are the Travel Guys. Our guest is Carol Pucci. Carol, we're talking about road trips. Carol, any advice that you might have for specifically people that are traveling with kids?
Well, again, I think there are lots of rest stops. Nicely maintained, by the way, especially in Oregon. We found the rest stops to be very nicely maintained. So you could bring the snacks and the drinks and the water and stop and have a nice picnic. You let the kids get out and stretch their legs, and feel like you've got to drive the whole way without stopping. I think there's plenty of safe and responsible ways to enjoy the trip and stop along the way.
And Carol, you mentioned that you came kind of down the center of the state. We went up the coast. And mm-hmm. and found that rest stops were perhaps not as abundant. A couple of the state, and you're right about Oregon and their rest stops. They probably mm-hmm. have the cleanest and nicest rest areas in the country. But along the coast, we did find a couple that seemed to be closed, and you know, wasn't marked for maintenance or anything. They were just closed. Mm-hmm. So the great thing about that though is that you can pull your GPS up. And just about any GPS will show you which rest areas might not be open or might have limited hours or anything like that. Because I agree with you, the opportunity to be able to, and especially in Oregon, I mean, here in California, some of our rest stops are, you know, when it's 95 degrees outside, there's no shade, and you want to go inside and get done and get back in the car. But in Oregon, you have all of these lovely rest areas with shade and trees and in wonderful natural surroundings that
really and truly do. They're like parks. Our rest stops here in Washington State, I didn't find to be as nice. And I don't know why. I didn't know that about Oregon, but they're very, very well kept and well done.
You mentioned Ashland about the fact that things were less crowded in Ashland. Boy, gosh, what a great year to go there. Our good buddy Ed Perkins, who is a travel advocate and is on the program from time to time, mentioned and lives in Ashland, mentioned that the town was just very, very, very quiet. Did you, you were doing the Airbnb thing. Did you think to yourself, gosh, what a great time to go to Ashland?
Well, yes, I did. Like I said, my mother lives there, and so that really wasn't the purpose. However, once we got there, we really enjoyed the town because, as you said, there were hardly any people there. But things were open. The restaurants were open. The park, beautiful Lithia Park, some beautiful little shops were all open, and very few people. I felt sorry for the businesses, but it was a great time to be in that town.
Well, and hopefully they won't encounter that again. Carol, before I let you go, any last piece of wisdom that you would like to share with our listeners here in Sacramento?
Well, again, I find that people, when they are considering a driving trip, and it's usually for a purpose, they act as almost as if they're driving through a war zone. Pack the car, don't get out, don't stop, don't spend the night. Some people are sleeping in their cars. And I don't see any reason for that. I think you can travel responsibly during this period and still very much enjoy your trip.
Carol, wow. That might have been the best thing that we've heard on air here in a long time. Thank you very much.
I think Carol and Mark are just going to be leaving their respective states and moving to Oregon. And you guys paint such a glowing and wonderful picture. If I need a rest stop in California, I'm just going to Oregon anyway.
Well, Tom, right. The folks in Oregon are nice people, but it is also really important to know that in Oregon, there are two different worlds. The western side of Oregon has certain topography and is very tourism-oriented, and the eastern side of Oregon is a little bit different.
And that's very true. Very true.
Yeah. So you probably would find a little different attitude. Anyway, Carol, thank you so much for your time. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Keep up the good work. Thomas, before we end up our time here at Rudy's, I do want to mention something that we didn't talk about at the beginning of the show. Rudy, who is no longer with us and hasn't been for a while, Rudy was a sports leisure traveler. Rudy and his wife went on lots of sports leisure trips. I remember taking a trip up the Mississippi River with them. Rudy's health was starting to decline a little bit, but what wonderful people. So this place has been here a long time and is known for some great food at really reasonable prices. And they've done a great job of setting up outside here. So if you're thinking, there's no place for us to go eat. Yeah, there's an old place right here in Sacramento that has a great reputation that you can come to and eat anytime. And it's Rudy's Hideaway right here on the historic Lincoln Highway, I might add.
There you go. An official non-sponsor of the travel guys, I might point out. At any rate, it's been a great afternoon here. It's a little warm, but we're wrapping it up. I can smell the grill. The food is a-cooking. I think Rudy's actually opens at 4 and gets it going. In the meantime, that's it for the travel guys for this week. We'll be back next week at 3 o'clock. In the meantime, don't forget, check us out at travelguysradio.com. Mark, final words?
And remember to dance like nobody's watching.
Thank you, my friends. You stay well. See you next week.
He's leaving town. He never